Thank you. Okay. I'm going to try to stand closer to this so I can control this better. So good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming out and delaying your lunch maybe a little bit longer to be here. So yes, my name is Sean Nguyen, and I'm at the University of Pennsylvania Center for Public Health Initiatives. And this project, first I'd like to recognize my collaborators, Elaine Yuen from Thomas Jefferson University, Leah Su, Toy Nguyen, and Cao Q. This work is actually out of mostly Leah's work, because this was her master's project when she got her public health degree. So I'd like to especially recognize her for her work here. So just to start off, language is obviously vital to communicating about everything, but particularly when we're thinking about public health. Being able to get the right message across to folks requires that we understand the language needs that people are coming to the table with. And for immigrants in particular, immigrants, refugees, and asylees, the need to address the linguistic needs is very important. Unfortunately, health databases in general do not necessarily track primary language for folks in this country. They often rely on race or ethnicity for classification. And a good example of this is the census. For example, Census 2000 did not really ask about language for the majority of folks. The long form, which was only asking a small percentage of folks, did include questions about primary language. Unfortunately, the short form, which was used in the majority of households, did not. And so they basically asked about race. Now, the good thing is that they at least didn't just say Asian as an option for the Asian respondents. They did separate the race question into other subcategories, such as Asian Indian, Chinese, Filipino, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Native Hawaiian, Guamanian, Chamorro, Samoan, and other. And so Asians and Pacific Islanders were differentiated a little bit more in the 2000 census. I'm not exactly sure. Does anyone know what the 2010 plan is in terms of looking at language?
I don't think
it's not in the main thing. Yeah, I didn't think so. So again, we're dealing with some issues with the availability of data. Southeast Asians in particular constitute a very large number of immigrants and refugees worldwide. And also, as you heard from Dr. Chen's talk, a lot of Southeast Asians, including the Hmong, are a large population here in the United States as well. And political circumstances in Southeast Asia resulted in very extensive regional migration within this part of the world. As a result, there was a great diversity of language, ethnicity, and nationality. Now, of course, you know, we were talking about the Hmong people before. You know, you can have people who are Hmong in ethnicity, but they were born in China or born in Vietnam and so on. And the language needs are also potentially very different. There's an unclear understanding, however, of how these characteristics really overlay each other. Decisions on how to ask immigrants to describe themselves are often quite arbitrary. So you may have one survey or a census or something like that where they are asking about race, which may or may not separate it into these subcategories, or they may decide to ask about language, or they may decide to ask about ethnic background instead. So the implications for these can be both clinical and more policy related. From a clinical standpoint, I'm a family physician. If I know the background of a patient, I might be able to plan in advance what their needs might be when I see them in terms of having an appropriate interpreter available in the room and so on. From a policy standpoint, and also clinical needs as well, you may think about things like the availability of forms that are in the right language or educational materials. From a policy standpoint, you need to think about things like allocation of resources, translation interpretation services, from a policy level, institutional level. And this depends on accurate population level data. Just out of curiosity, I'm just wondering, how many people here were not born in the United States? Okay. All right. And among the people who were not born in the United States, for how many of you does your ethnicity match the country you were from? All right. And for how many of those people does your ethnicity and the country you came from match the language you speak most? Okay. So we've got one person where it all comes together and matches. But for most of us, it doesn't. And I think when we're thinking about the more Eurocentric way of looking at things, we say, oh, well, someone's ethnically French. They were born in France. They speak French. Okay. Someone's ethnically Spanish. And they come from Spain. They speak Spanish. That is not the same in other parts of the world. Okay. So the methods here are basically we use data from an urban survey of Southeast Asian immigrants, and they were recruited by a community organization, the Southeast Asian Mutual Assistance Association's Coalition of Philadelphia, CMAC. And I should say that I'm now a board member of CMAC, but I wasn't when I did this, got involved in this study. So the folks were recruited. They were all adults living in Philadelphia, and all had to be, at least for this analysis, born in Southeast Asia, that meaning Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Thailand, or Vietnam. The survey was administered by interviewers so that there was no issue in terms of literacy or vision, visual acuity. And it was done in 9 different languages: English, Cambodian, Cantonese, Hmong, Indonesian, Laotian, Mandarin, Thai, and Vietnamese. And this present analysis really focuses on 4 self-reported items: main language, nationality or country of birth, ethnicity, and English proficiency. The focus of the analysis is concordance of language and other variables, those other 3 variables. And I just wanted to recognize Elaine Yuen, who's one of my co-authors from Thomas Jefferson. Okay, so our results, first of all, this is just the sample that we have here. We have about 40% male, 60% or so female, and we had 413 people who reported that they were born in one of these countries. The actual main survey had over 500 people, but we excluded people who were born in other parts of the world. Some people were born in the US and were included in the larger study, but for this analysis, we limited it to the 413 who said that they were born in one of those countries in Southeast Asia. And you can see the age distribution here. Ages range from 19 to 94. So these are the countries of birth, and just so you can see that we had a distribution of folks, not that many from Thailand, but we had a reasonable number of people, and not that many from Cambodia, but a reasonable number of people from most of the other countries. And looking at ethnicity, we have, a broad distribution, and you can see that we have even greater distribution in terms of the different options of what people describe themselves ethnically. And then finally, looking at primary language, you can see that it becomes even more diverse. We have folks who spoke Cambodian, Mandarin, Cantonese, English, Hmong, Indonesian, Lao, Thai, and Vietnamese as their primary languages. And thinking about English proficiency, because if everyone was able to speak English anyway, then it's not really a big issue because you just do everything in English and you're fine. But 95% of the folks here said that they spoke a language other than English at home. And 96% of those who answered this question about English proficiency, 96% had limited English proficiency, which means that they spoke English less than very well. So looking then at concordance, you can see that although for the majority of these we have a fairly high concordance rate between nationality or country of birth and language, It's not 100%. And also, there are some, for example, the if you excluded the Hmong language as a, when you're talking about language concordance, then you see that for people born in Laos, the concordance goes down significantly. And also for people born in Vietnam, the concordance was quite low. When you think that if someone was born in Vietnam, that you cannot assume that they were speaking Vietnamese primarily. Same thing is true for ethnicity, and that's mainly for Chinese ethnicity, because people who were who said that they were ethnically Chinese didn't necessarily speak a Chinese language as their primary language. So that's the major finding with regard to this. And among ethnic Chinese, for example, 85% in our sample spoke Indonesian, and 10% spoke Thai. 10% of the Thai spoke Laotian as their primary language. So now, it's important to remember that this sample doesn't mean that we're saying 10% of all Thai people in the United States are going to speak Laotian, or that 90% of all Vietnamese in America, bless you, speak Vietnamese. But the main point is that for this particular sample, ethnicity and nationality do not reliably predict the main language spoken by the individual from Southeast Asia. National implications, you know, if we were to say that we were spreading this over nationally, our observed discordance rate, if we applied it to census data for the number of people from Southeast Asia here, then we would say that perhaps 140,000 Southeast Asians could have been misclassified in terms of their linguistic needs based upon using their racial ethnic category from the census. And so, although when you think about the larger population as a whole, it might not be a huge number, it's still, for these 140,000 people, it could be quite important. Now, we're focusing on Southeast Asia here, but really, it's important to remember that Southeast Asia is not unique. Implications exist for immigrants from a lot of other parts of the world as well, such as South Asia, where you have dozens and hundreds of languages, potentially Africa, Eastern Europe, and even, you know, the other parts of Asia, such as China, where you have many, many languages spoken. And so focusing on a country of origin or ethnicity may not be necessarily the best way of describing the needs. So to assess the health communication needs of immigrant populations, policymakers and providers really should collect and look at language data rather than ethnicity or nationality when they are considering what the health communication needs may be of the populations that they serve. Just like to acknowledge various funding mechanisms that helped us, and really want to thank the CMAQ staff who collected the 500 or so interviews without any additional funding for them. And so this could not have been done without their help. Thank you.